Thanks, Ray. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's been a while since we met like this on a Saturday, so I've been looking forward to the time. How long will these talks be going on? I think only the Lord knows. Even I don't know. But I do have the sensation and maybe even the assurance that in this past, what, a year and a half or 2 years since we began, the Lord has been with us. I surely inwardly felt that way. Whether you were inspired or motivated or not, I certainly have been by the Lord's own words and burdens. Well, today we'll continue on this critical burden concerning shepherding. And we may be using today to kick off, if you will, or to begin to get into shepherding on the more pragmatic or practical side, and that will take some time. Now, a word about these outlines. These outlines were quite well prepared, I must say, and the coverage, the content and how it's organized. However, the subject being as great and complex, I would even say, as it is, this matter of shepherding. These outlines, you may say, are still not that complete. The ordering of them, as at least well, for my exercise in these talks with you all, have been really, I have not been really following them, in a legal way, one after another. As you know by now, I mainly went by my burden from the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we don't need these outlines. I hope that you will treasure them. And in fact, my charge to you is that you will get into them. A talk is a talk, a message is a message. Of course, I think the fellowship is recorded, and you can listen to the archive, MP3 or whatever recordings. But these outlines with the words of the ministry is, I would say, more important than what I'm saying to you. So I would like to charge especially the leading brothers to take the lead yourselves, and sisters, the serving sisters and brothers, to take the lead to really get into these outlines. We spend much, much time. You don't know how many versions of this outline we have worked on to come up with these 12 total. And it's very easy to dismiss them as, it's just a collection of quotes, ministry quotes. Yes, they are. But in order to compile and indeed to properly curate these, it's a very challenging job. Much time is spent on it. So I hope that the leading brothers, you will take the lead to find time in your busy church life, we're all in one, to get into this. I don't know how you should do it. You know your church's situation. And you yourself first, and then guide the saints. You can use this material everywhere from maybe some small groups, maybe Tuesday night after the prayer, or even in some other special occasions, like a little local conference, something like that, where you can get into these things together. The more you, this is surely my experience. The more I get into these things, the more I see and the more I feel that I have not seen enough. And this seeing is important because it affects my practice. It affects my daily burden. And so the more I see, the more burden I become for myself and for others. And the more I am, moved or convicted that I need to practice these things. So don't forget that word that Paul said to Timothy. All the things that you have heard, not only teach them, but you practice them so that your progress can be visible, to the saints, to the believers. Our problem, a lot of times, brothers, with spiritual things is we remain only in the stage of inspiration, of even of revelation. And I mean that positively. But we stop there. Somehow we failed to bring what we see into practice to, so to speak, to walk the talk, right? To apply what we have received into our experience and our daily living. Then, in a way that you possess these things, these wonderful things as mainly knowledge in the end, but not in your practical daily life and church life. And this is what this training is about, not just only to make us impress us of certain things, but really to motivate us to do that. Brother Lee, at the end of his vital group training, he had three series of such training over the course of 3 years or so, 2 to 3 years. At the end of that time, he said to us who were there, being his audience in Orange County in Southern California, he said, "Brothers and sisters, I have said what I have said concerning the vital group. If you do not practice them," and we were short in that. He knew that, and he said that, "I will not speak on this subject anymore." Now, didn't speak that in just an exasperated way or in a impatient way. Maybe there's some of that, or in a ugly kind of a way. But one detects his burden. And to this day, that little word still rings in my ears. That man, you have heard these, you have studied this, but how much are you practicing these things, and how much are you leading the dear saints into these things? Our shortage today, brothers, in a lot of this, these things are really not the understanding or the comprehension. I would like to strongly say that these days, individually and collectively in the churches, is really the application. And there's no way around it. You have to practice to be perfect, as they say. You have to do the things in order to really know the things and learn, especially in the process. So my challenge to all of you, my strong exhortation to every saint is, this is not just now the leading brothers. You have a particular role to play in being a pattern, in taking the lead, but all the saints as well, with the help of my small speaking here, and with these outlines, you will, and even the lot of references we give to you, bibliography, so that you can go study even more in the ministry, this matter of shepherding, but that you will actually do it. I like to ask even this morning, all of you, you don't need to raise up hands, you don't need to, I'm not here to put anyone on the spot or to expose anyone. But as Brotherly trained us in these things, he always say, have you done it? What did you do last week? Last week, the last 7 days. And please give a testimony, because we may say we did something, we might not have done anything. So he wants a testimony. So you can lie. You have to tell the truth. And many of them were just unable to do that, because really, either we didn't even try, or our exercise was quite lame, you know. Our heart was not there. But anyway, dear saints, this is my main word to you, that you will do these things. When you apply yourself in these things, let me tell you, more light will come to you. You know, light doesn't just come from the heavens, from within our spirit. And I'll tell you, a lot of light comes from doing. I would say the practical light comes, or even revelation comes from your doing. So please, how many of you today have taken up this matter? You have gone to the Lord. You have consecrated to him. You have dealt with him, are still dealing with him. You sought the Lord in a strong and even, I would say, intense way for this burden for people. You go to the Lord to open your heart to him, that he could widen, broaden, enlarge your heart, your love, your interest for others, and not just yourself. And then you're beginning to seek the Lord in prayer for ones that the Lord may put into your heart, right? Organically, the elders are not going to not give you a list of names. You need to lift up your eyes and look at the fields, and look among the saints, and look among the new ones, and look among the young ones, right? I'm talking about even junior hires, high schoolers, college age, the working saints, some of the weaker and backslidden ones, and the senior saints, you know, saints that have not been coming to the meetings, or are faltering, or, I mean, we will never run out of people to care for, all right? But if we're not aggressive about it, nothing will happen. And so, have you done that? And then not only so, that you have taken steps to contact people, to reach out and contact them by a phone call, at the end of a meeting, have a cup of coffee to, visit them, to invite them to your home for dinner. Go on Zoom. I don't know. There's so many means for us to do this. The problem is not that. The problem is our heart. And so you got to be so determined on this thing. Lord, you have to get through in me in this matter. Otherwise, I cannot go on. You've got to change me. I need a transformation in this regard. Lord, where do I start? I don't even know. You pray this way. You just be sincere and frank with the Lord and pray this way. See what the Lord will do. I believe the Spirit will touch you in times that you're not thinking. You're not even considering the matter. The Lord would say, you see, this little one needs care. That young one has a need. This sister, that brother, this neighbor of yours, and yet I'm even including some friends of yours and relatives and even gospel candidates, so-called, people that the Lord has brought into your path and to cross your path and just in your life and in your situation. But when will we do this? When will all the churches do this as the our As a ministry, shepherding is a ministry, in a very, very conscious and conscientious way. So, I would just say this strongly to you all. Now, I told the brothers before this meeting I was going to give you a word separate from this as a kind of a, I don't know, some thoughts, personal thoughts that may be helpful. But as I speak this, I don't know whether I should be distracted by that or to get into that. But maybe I would say something here to further lead us into this burden. Well, oh Lord. Well, let me just be very, very simple. Okay. Recently with the situation in Israel, you all know, which is very, very tied to the entire world situation and obviously to God's move in his economy and particularly in these end times. And I'm very concerned that many of our younger saints, younger generation, do not have much knowledge or appreciation of that. I'm talking about the situation related to Israel. The prophecies, of course, in the Word, both by the prophets of old and by the Lord himself and even by the apostles. Today, if we want to understand the entire work of God in his administration of the world situation for the accomplishment of his purpose, you have to know, number one, Israel. You have to have some knowledge about Israel and the history and her destiny. And number two, you have to know something about the church, the church's history and destiny. And then you also need to know something about the world, so-called the Gentile, Gentiles and the Gentile nations, their history and also their destiny. And without these three things being quote-unquote triangulated, you know what I mean, you would not have a proper appreciation just of where we are today and the significance of what is going on over there. I'm talking about in Israel and in so-called Palestine. So, my dear wife, Vicky, she, because of that, did some reading of the life studies of Daniel and Zechariah. And here, let me give a plug about reading the life studies. We may have been to these life study meetings. I have been, and if not all, majority. Most of them. But I can pick up, Zechariah today, life study, and say, where was I? You know what I mean? Of course, the material is voluminous and the time has been, decades. So for us to go back to the life study, as it were, for some of us older folks, it's almost like reading these things anew. These things will never go get old. Our memory, we can suffer memory loss, but these things themselves will never get old, and we need to be refreshed and by them all the time. But to the younger brothers and sisters among us, younger generation, you really need to, and I'm happy that in the Northern Cal, you're all in sync, right? All the churches in reading the 2 a week, the life studies. So please continue with that. And by the way, let me give another plug here, and that is, the Lord willing, this summer training, we're going to launch LS 500, the app, the LSM app of LS meaning Life Study 500 .org version 2.0. And this 2.0 version has a particular feature that will help you to study this together in groups with your companion, with a couple of sisters, with a group of brothers or a small group, whatever. It will have to improve function. Not only so, to even more encourage, very encouragingly, we are going to launch, if not this summer, but soon, I trust this year, the Chinese version and also the Spanish version. How about that? All this will help the saints. Currently, I think there are, say, 45,000 plus subscribers to this app already. And you can imagine once you have the Chinese and Spanish, how that will be, the number will spike. But our burden is not to, make fancy apps. Our burden is to help all the dear saints to be in this. I just was in Ontario, in Southern California, in the so-called inland area, to have a 24-hour conference with them, and I met with the leading brothers. I was so pleased that they have taken this matter seriously, like you. 2 a week, all the churches are into them, and they testify how that has become a staple, in the church life, besides Holy Word and so on. And I was so pleased to hear that. And our burden, my burden anyway, is that we will read the life studies until the end, until the Lord Jesus comes, or until I'm no longer here. It should be that way. It will not get old or stale. So here, my wife was reading this again, in light of the Middle East situation, and shared with some of us in the family, and mainly from Daniel and Zechariah. And I was so helped from by that. Again, it's not that I don't know these things, but I'm so helped. And so now I have even a more again, refresh with my view concerning even what is happening in the Middle East, with Israel and all of that. But not only so, not only so, this thing is to be applied, even these prophecies is to be applied to what? To ourselves, to the church life in the Lord's recovery. In other words, how should we then live today in light of all these happenings on the earth? How should we live? You see, without this, brothers, we may just slumber and sleep, or worse yet, we may just become worldly and being drunk with the things of the world, and forgot that the days are evil. And we would without this, we would become not we will be in a stupor and not vigilant in our lives, and how sad that is. I am again just saying this word to us, to encourage you to, of course, to get into life study, but with Daniel and Zechariah, it says, I'm quoting just Brother Lee, right? Just some wonderful quotes. He said, "I hope that we will see the controlling vision in the second chapter of Daniel, on that, the great image. This is where you start. This, you've got to know this great image. And that in light of that vision, we'll have a clear view concerning the human government." Everything has to do with the human government on the earth today. Now, in the eyes of human beings, there are different kinds of government, some good, some bad, You're for that's this system, you're for that kind of a system, this regime, that regime. But in the eyes of God, every human government is a beast. How about that? Is an animal. You know, just that line, every human government is a beast, helps you how to look at the world, how to, they're all beasts in the eyes of God. Babylon, Persia, Greece, Roman Empire are four beasts, right? And Brother Lee said that just this view, just this simple view, has what preserved him, Brother Lee, from the world for 60 years. In other words, he would not associate himself with the beast, okay? He would not have anything to do with the beast. Yes, these beasts are allowed by God, even raised up by God, to facilitate his work on the earth. But they're all beasts, they're all unclean, they're all evil, they're all cruel, they're just beastly. So Bradley said, we need such a vision. Okay, so today, brothers and sisters, let's look at the world. You know, this is so many thousand years later, it is still beast. Everyone is a beast, you know. And you don't expect these beasts will change and they'll become something nice. It won't happen. We need even this as a controlling vision, so we'll be what kept from the world and for the Lord's coming. You know, of course he will come as that smiting stone and crush the aggregate of the human government, and become that great mountain, the eternal kingdom of God filling the whole earth. So these are should no they're no longer just prophecy per se, you know. Brothers and sisters, this will help us how to live. We are a different kind of human beings. We are under the human government, but we're not in the human government, just like we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We have no share in this. And then to know that one day the Lord will come and crush all of this, will end all of this mess, and he himself will reign in his own kingdom on the earth. Isn't that our destiny? Isn't that our prayer? Right? Isn't that what we're here living for? It says this will even change the way we live today. All right. You know, then Zechariah particularly talk about the future of Israel, because you know we're all worried about Israel. What will happen in the future? At the Lord's return. He says that Zechariah, that is, that Jehovah, the Lord, will pour out on the house of this of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they will look at me meaning Christ, the coming Christ, the Messiah, whom they have pierced, whom they have crucified. You know, Israel crucified the Messiah and rejected him wholly. You know, in Acts 2, God poured out his spirit upon all flesh. All flesh, you know, Jews, Gentiles, you know, so thousands were saved at the Pentecost. When God pours out again the Spirit. He pours out the Spirit of grace upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem one day. That is still to come. Many thousands of Israel and Israelites and even the race of Israel will be saved at that time. Well, the thing is this, when the Lord appeared again, what is remaining of the of Israel, they will be suffering a lot. as if they have not suffered, under the Holocaust, the Nazis and so on. Starting that their suffering started way back 2,000 years ago when Jerusalem was destroyed, in AD 70, and from then on they lost their nation. They're in dispersion, they're scattered to the four winds, and where they continue to suffer persecution until today. But many have returned to form the nation of Israel in 1948. So while still most of the Jews, well, it is prophesied that at the time of the Antichrist, the last 3.5 years of this age, 2/3 of all of Israel will be killed, slaughtered, at least there. Think about it. Think about it. This is our God is the God of Israel. He loves Israel. He called Israel as his own. But that will be his judgment. Half of Jerusalem will go into captivity. The other half, this is Brother Lee's words, huh? Will no longer have any taste for human life or for acquiring possessions and high positions. Then shouldn't that speak to us, dear saints? You can amass all you want, possessions, position, fame, fortune, well, whatever, whatever, whatever. The day will come, things will happen in this world that all of that will be tasteless. Even our lives, and it is even said in Revelation, people just say it's better to die. All the natural calamities, all the wars and bloodshed, all the things that will come, part of God's judgment and arrangement to work out his kingdom. Since we don't need to wait for that time, we don't, do we? Shouldn't we live like this today? And this is a word I have for the young generation. I just found out that the biggest AI company is owned by a Chinese, and the at least paper value of that company now is like up close to 3 trillion or something like that. AI, the biggest thing going right now. My goodness, $3 trillion. What are you going to do with that? It won't be long, dear saints. None of those will mean anything. None of that. And so what are we to pursue today? At that time, when things are so bad, the Israelites will realize they are short of God. And Brother Lisa, they will exercise their spirit and not their mind. They will then repent. That's Israel coming into repentance because they have nothing else, nothing to live for, suffering terribly. They lost the taste of all the wonderful glitter and gold or whatever. The Holy Spirit at that time, listen, will be poured out again on them. This time, it will be the Spirit of grace. And they will, at that time, Israel, I'm talking about Israel, will turn to the Lord. They will follow the Spirit and be occupied with God himself. They will have learned by then everything apart from God is vanity. Your saints, go home this afternoon and sing that song, Vanity. Vanity, vanity, huh? It's chasing the wind. It's all vanity. We are not Israel, but we are the true Israel, huh? We should today see through all the things that they are. Anything that is apart from the Lord is just vanity. And so Israel by then will have that sensation, and the pouring out of the Spirit upon them will be different from the day of Pentecost, which was the Spirit of power to cause people to repent. You know, Peter preached, "Repent, brothers," right? In that coming day, Israel has repented already. So all it takes is for them to receive that spirit of grace. All the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And then they can really receive the Lord God, the triune God, as their enjoyment. Now, this is all in the life studies, brothers. I'm just reading it to you. Our heart today, our heart today. This is what I'm getting at. Of course, the Lord will come with the as the stone to the smiting stone. He will crush the Antichrist with the 10 toes, etc. But you know what? It is said that he will not come by himself. He will come with his bride. And before that, he actually will have a wedding, wedding his overcomers to himself to be one. So while, yes, in Daniel, he speaks of Christ coming as a stone, but in Revelation 19, it speaks of Christ coming as well, but as the one who has a bridal army. Now, we may know these things, but these things are very applicable to us today. That means today we need to be these are days of adornment, of preparation, of training and equipping that we can be that bridal army, the overcomers. Isn't that what we're doing? Isn't this our church life day by day, dear saints? We have no time to waste to wait until that day and somehow I get into this elevator and go to heaven. That is a myth. That is a fable. That is unbelievable. That's a lie. All right. That's a blatant lie, satanic lie. It won't happen that way. God's judgment begins with his house or in his house. So in Zechariah again, Brother Lee said the center of God's economy is to have a body to express Christ. Eventually, this body will be Christ's bride to match him as his counterpart and to come down to the earth with him, this bride, to carry out the final step of God's economy in this age. The world situation, Brother Lee said today, is ready for his coming, but the Lord has not yet gained his counterpart. So he has no way to come back. He is still waiting. Without this bridal army, the Lord simply cannot return. In a way, you can say God is not waiting on the world situation for things to unfold. I mean, he's the one who had plan and a ministry. He needs a people. He needs a people, maybe a small number, but a real group of people who will live him for the body today. This is what the Lord wants, brothers and sisters. Yes, I'm talking about shepherding, and this is why we need to shepherd. Right? This is the work of God. The Lord willing, this summer we're going to have a week-long training, half in the West Coast, half in the East Coast for the Chinese-speaking saints. And the subject, you might have guessed it, the subject is shepherding according to God. Shepherding according to God. That means according to God's nature, according to God's ways, according to God's taste, according to God's timing, according, just according to God. And it takes a lot to learn that. And Peter charged the elders to do this, not to shepherd the flock by compulsion, but willingly, according to God. And the elders are not the only shepherds, because we, the saints, are charged to imitate their faith, to follow their example. So really, the burden of shepherding is for all of us. I'm even bringing in the end of the world to this burden of shepherding. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Well, what are we spending our time on? Just still enjoying kind of bobbing around in the ocean of this age, just like everybody else, listless, just kind of in a stupor? Or are we clear-minded and filled with purpose, and are here just being the enlargement and extension of Christ himself, to be one with him, not only to express him, to live him, but also to serve and minister like shepherds? In Isaiah's prophecy, a lot is said about, Christ being the fulfillment of King Cyrus, Cyrus, whom God used to dethrone or displace Babylon. And Cyrus, that God Jehovah loves him. Why? Because he got rid of Babylon and he supported the return of the Israelites back to the good land. And that Cyrus eventually is a type of Christ, the coming Christ. Isaiah even said, this Cyrus will, he is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. That means, he is a symbol, of Christ coming as the real true shepherd. And we have covered these things. All right, now I don't have the my clock in front of me. What time is it now? Can one of you tell me? Don, Brother Don Mango, what time is it now?
We have 10:49.
Oh, 10:49. Thank you. So let me now say something concerning the practice of shepherding. Now, Ray, in the beginning of this meeting, said that the brothers were given these outlines to be passed out to the saints' use in hard copies. So I hope that is done or being done. And I have spent so many talks, and maybe too much, I don't know, on these sort of initial things concerning our the vision of shepherding, of the need for shepherding, concerning the burden of a shepherd, as seen in the case of Paul, right? Especially Paul, and the pattern of shepherd again, also very much Paul, and so forth, a lot. And I cover even some of the requisites, the requirements for being a proper and genuine shepherd, and so forth. And this is what I say: you need to go back to these things if you have not studied them, to really get into it. with prayer and even use the ministry to deal with the Lord. And then in lesson four, we cover the practice of prayer to start with for shepherding. In other words, the first thing, prayer is the essential basic thing of proper shepherding. I think I have covered that in my talks. You know, how crucial the golden incense altar is, being the center and the engine of all the rest of the tabernacle that motivates everything. And that whole picture of the tabernacle with its furnishings in outer court, I mean, firstly the outer court, and then, of course, the holy place and the holiest of all, is actually a shepherding process. Okay? That's how we shepherd people. That's how Christ shepherded us in the heavens and within us today as the shepherd of our soul, to lead us from the first altar to the second altar and eventually even into the holiest of all, where we become incorporated with the triune God. And all those stations are actually the scene of this shepherding process. Today, you say, what am I doing in shepherding someone? Same thing. You are leading someone from salvation, from, you know, the experience of redemption at the bronze altar, am I right? And through the laver, am I right? The washing and the baptism and all of this, and into the holy place to eat the showbread, right? To lead our little sheep and lambs, just not to how to drink the pure milk of the word, and to know how to enjoy Christ. And then you lead them from there to the lampstand so that they would know how to receive life, to know, begin to know the truth in the word, so on. And then from there, you lead them to the incense altar, the place of prayer. And then even beyond that, into the holiest of all, and even into the Ark of the Testimony. I'm not here to, you know, interpret all of this. Again, you have some idea. But that is the shepherding. That is the Christian path. That is the Christian growth. And that is what we do with people. Shepherding is not just solving somebody's problem. It's part of it. But it's not the main part of it. It is to guide. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah is my shepherd, right? He will guide us all the way into the house through all the different stations. The same thing today. This is how shepherding works. Shepherding someone from the stage, maybe even of a sinner or a new believer, to becoming in actuality, though a real son of God in the church life. This is our shepherding. And how many saints can do this work? Every saint should be doing something. Now, I may have more capacity to do more, and you may have less, but that's not important. The important that all of us are clear about this, and all of us are shepherding someone. I mean, today, you know, many of us have this experience. Suddenly, this young saint came up to me and said, you know, you took care of me at so many years ago. I don't even have that much recollection. Do you follow me? And not only so, that son that you have shepherded for many, many years, you are still shepherding. You see, dear brothers and sisters, this is how the saints grow. This is how the saints advance in life and truth and in the church and in their usefulness, in their service. This is an all-inclusive care. Shepherding is truly all-inclusive in nature. And I, you know, in chapter four, the stress is that the beginning point is really to pray. To pray for what? To pray for the ones that you are shepherding. I won't get into this. And shepherd prayer, not just in a way that you have some fellowship with the Lord. When we talk about prayer here, we're talking about prayer with a in an inquiring way. That means your prayer is petitioning the Lord or contacting the Lord concerning His work, concerning the work of shepherding, concerning the needs of so many that is the that needs care and shepherding. Who is doing that? Actually, the saints, the more we grow, the less, in a sense, the less we pray for ourselves. The more we pray for people and others. But is it the case with us? We need to ask that. Sisters, I mean, in every church, your prayers, together as sisters or individually, your prayers, just praying for this, you know, not in a general way for the church, but praying for this one, for this need, for that need. You know, sisters are finer in nature, and this kind of prayer is finer and more detail, releasing some particular burdens before the Lord for him to respond to or to answer. So you see, they're saying, if you are a real shepherd, this shepherding, the first thing is it will benefit you because it pushes you, forces you to come before the Lord all the time, to fellowship with the Lord, to come into His presence. And this will also cause you to begin to know what is shepherding according to God. That means how God will speak to you and anoint you and give you particular burden, concerning what He wants related to this person that you're caring for or these people you're caring for. Then you're learning not only to know God, in the way of fellowship, but you're learning to know God's way of doing things, God's way of caring for people. Some of the principles that God operates under. My, I tell you, to have this kind of oneness with the Lord is something further. You will learn these things as you shepherd. So prayer includes all of this. I think some of us are not so much praying and not so much with the Lord. It's because we're not caring for nobody. So we have nothing to do. It's like you come to the Lord says, well, what do you want again? It's still something for yourself. Well, what if, oh, I have this need, I have that need. Well, our needs are limited. People's need is limitless. And they need not just, they need others to intercede for them. This is where we start. You know, how do you get a burden for a person? Through prayer, through observation, through contact, and through that, the Spirit touches you, the Spirit anoints you, the Lord, the Spirit burdens you about this person or that person, and you begin to pray and touch the Lord and His heart concerning this person or these ones. That is what we mean by prayer being the basic element of the proper shepherding. When, if we do not know how to intercede for others, actually we don't know how to pray. We know some, but I'll tell you a big part a prayer, his intercession. Today, Christ is at the right hand of God, not just praying. He is there interceding, advocating on our behalf. And he needs some on the earth to correspond with this heavenly intercessory ministry. And that's the church. And that should be us. I mean, look, if you have a church there with 50 people, 70 people, or even less, but that church is a praying church in this kind of way. Not only in the prayer meeting, but separately, personally, individually, they praying, specific for specific needs and cases and persons. I tell you, that church is a shepherding church. And so we also stress for this type of prayer, dear saints, it needs to be persistent. You just don't pray when you remember it. You pray, number one, you have to learn to be specific to pray. Pray for this prayer. I like to ask, who are you praying for? You say, I'm praying for the Lord's recovery. Well, praise the Lord for that. But that's too general. Who are you praying for? I want a name, right, Brother Lee said. I want a name. I want a few names. Who are you praying for? Be specific. You know, sometimes it's hard for God to answer prayers because those prayers it's so general. It's not even asking. It's just, Lord, we remember your recovery. Well, what does that mean? Do you follow me? It's not wrong to remember the Lord's recovery. You know what I mean. There's no specifics there. And God hardly knows how to answer your prayers. He would say, hey, son or child, what do you want? Not for yourself, right? For others. What do you want? Well, you say, this person is not saved. Lord, save this person. Now, there's something for God to answer. There's something to hold God's feet to the fire, so to speak. Learn to be specific. We're too general. We are just too general. Okay? Or this situation, or this brother, he's stuck in this situation. Lord, I don't agree. We don't agree. Let's say there's a certain young one, he's just have a besetting sin or a certain kind of a problem. You realize that you don't go gossip and say, you pray. Even binding and losing prayer. Yeah. To help this person out of that situation. This is the kind of prayer I'm talking about. We need more of this kind of prayer. Of course, I mentioned this kind of prayer a lot of times requires persistence and, I mean, perseverance and prayer. In other words, it requires faith. Shepherding is a test of our faith. Our faith not just for ourselves, but our faith for others or even on others' behalf. You think you pray once and answer will come? No, it doesn't work like that. You know, remember the story of the poor, unrighteous judge, right? And that widow, she has to bother and bug the judge for I don't know how long. Eventually, even the bad judge have to get rid of her by, you know, helping her. You know, can you believe the Lord used that kind of parable to liken himself to an unrighteous judge, showing that you really have to want it. You really have to have that level of desperation. Your heart needs to be purified in the process that is something genuine, that burden. And sometimes even the Lord cannot answer our prayer because we have certain problems with the Lord that that needs to be dealt with, you know, that needs to be cleared up. And so you see, all of this works for the good, for all the parties, including ourselves. Then you need to pray for, Lord, give me a word. Now you have a burden. Now you're reaching out to this person. Now you have established some relationship with this person, this saint. Now, how do you, Nick, what is the next step? You say, well, it's all in the books. Yeah, it's all in the books. I'm not asking you about that. I'm asking about this particular person at this time. What does he or she need? You can give him the wrong medicine. You know, you give him the wrong medication, and you can make him more sick. It's really, this is from experience. But what kind of a diet you need to give him now? This may be healthy, but it's not the right time yet. You need to start here. You know, and I'm going through this physical therapy right now. They're giving me more and more exercises to do, but in day one, I cannot handle most of them. It will kill me. They are very good exercises. I couldn't do them. Now I'm almost a couple of months, 2 months into it. Now they're introducing some more challenging. Now I can handle them. You see, even the prescription of care, of food, of so many things, take time, and you need the Lord's wisdom. We all need the Lord's wisdom constantly and instantly. Lord, you know, whenever I go meet someone, even a young one, Lord, I don't know what to say. Lord, I have a lot to say, but Lord, I don't know what to say. What does he need? Lord, show me. Even when I'm with him, Lord, show me. I tell you, the Lord loved to answer those kind of prayer. Those kind of prayer always gets answered, even quite quickly. This is Isaiah, you know. Lord, open my ears, instruct my tongue. Am I right? Give me a word of a learned one. I need something from you to care for, you know, this person. Brother Nee, I think, even suggests a prayer book. You know, a prayer book. When do I start praying for so-and-so? And what did I pray for that, how that would change? When is that prayer answered? This is Watchman Nee, prayer answer. And how was that answered? I mean, if you do that, you will see the grace of God. You will see the faithfulness of God, and you will be even more encouraged to pray like that for others. In the end, the Lord is the unique shepherd. God is the one shepherd in this universe, and we are doing all these things to align ourselves with him, to be one with him, to be mingled with him, to carry out his shepherding for his members. All right. So we cover that as well. But again, you're saying my burden is, how do we do it? Are we doing it? Let me say this again. You said, I've never shepherded someone. I don't know where to begin. Start with one. Just pick up one burden to pray for, one person to pray. And eventually our brother said, it should be normal that every one of us should have two or three under our shepherding in a specific way, okay? So start with one. Don't despise the day of small things. How about just start with one, you know? Three times the Lord spoke to Peter, shepherd my, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep. At least one of those charges or commission says not sheep, but lambs. That means little sheep. So many little sheep needs feeding. Young ones, physically young, spiritually young, immature ones, so many. And these ones, when they grow up, they could be elders, they could be co-workers, they would be very useful saints, but they need the care now. Who will take care of them? And there's always those that the church forgets, and they disappear, or they get into the become peripheral, but no one look out for them. Go find that, the one out of 100. You see, all this, all too much to do. And then another thing is, while each one of us should rise up to be a shepherd and to shepherd someone's, in the long run, it is good that you have also one or two companions to shepherd with for the long run. You see, so two sisters, not just one, they can pray together. That prayer is stronger for a young sister, for this person, or this unbeliever, or this saint, whatever. Two or three. Dear brother and sister, I'd like to tell you, this is the vital group. This is the work of the vital group, to care for people. Matthew chapter 18, when one cannot turn a fallen one, it says take one or two with you. So the principle of two and three is biblical. When two agree on the earth symphonically, it will have been done in the heavens. So at least two or three. So on the one hand, we individually shepherd, we should do that. But we should also shepherd with another one for balance, for support, for mutuality, for strength. That will be more sustainable. I don't mean we pass people around. God ordained that there are two parents, right? That's God's normal situation. There are two parents. For balance, for strength, in the care of their children.